The title of the message for today, if you could just look at it, title is always important. Is it right for you to be angry? How many of you are angry? Oh, so direct, right? How many of you are angry? Let me ask you again. Deeply angry. I've met so many angry people over the years. You know, anger is a real thing, isn't it? Absolutely real thing. And can I just tell you something about anger? Anger always has direction. Anger always have a object. You're angry at something, someone. And second thing about anger is, which we will explain, anger always kills. Always. Okay? I'm going to explain this. So, if you look at the title, is it right for you to be angry? Someone is kind of asking you or confronting you. Are you right? Can I just ask you, why do you get angry? When do you get angry? You get upset and angry when you feel and when you see or when you sense, this is not right. This is not right. That's just not the way it's supposed to be. When a child sees his mother gets beat up by his father, you know that's not right. Don't you? Right? And when you see something that is not right and you get upset in your gut because you know that's not right. So it is about right. And isn't it kind of interesting? In today's text, God is asking Jonah, is it right? It's a pretty amazing question. And we will kind of like unpack that through this afternoon. But last week, we saw God relenting of the disaster or the destruction or the judgment. And that's the kind of God we have. If he doesn't relent, none of you nor me will be able to survive. He relents. Okay? That he said he would do, but he did not do it. But wait a minute, isn't God God of his word? How can he possibly say something, promise something, and he doesn't fulfill it? You know, he's trustworthy because he's faithful to his word. Can you imagine you go to heaven, one day you die and you stand before the judgment of God and basically said, can I help you? And you say, Lord, it's me. All my life, I put my trust in you. And he said, oh, I changed my mind. Can you imagine that? But that's not going to happen because God is faithful and he's true to his word. Therefore, he's trustworthy. Absolutely. Okay? So it's very, very important. And he's a God, or not man of his word, but God of his word. And he fulfills it. That's why you could put your trust on him. But there is something that he relents. He say there is going to be judgment, and there will be. But if you repent, he relents from the destruction and disaster. This incredible attitude of God is true to his word. And yet we deserve, but he relents, although he's holy and just and hates wickedness and sin. So in chapter 3, we just finished last week. We ended with this great awakening, if you will, in history of mankind. The greatest awakening. One preacher preached a very simple sermon. I'm not sure whether it was a one-sentence sermon. Yet 40 days, the Nineveh will be overturned. But whatever the case may be, it was a simple message of destruction. And yet, entire city repented. You say, oh, that's not possible. That's not really relevant. That's not really what people of this modern age want to hear. But that's what he preached. And I share the same thing. You know, unless you turn, you will be destroyed. And that's the foundation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we pick up from there with the title, Is It Right for you to be angry, and are you angry? You know, we talked about family last Friday, right? Right away, you see the connection. It's amazing. We're not really angry about someone far away who doesn't really matter to us. But usually we're angry about someone close, someone you expect him or her to do better than that, right? So, are you angry? Okay, so we're moving into the last chapter, fourth chapter of the book of Jonah. And I don't know whether you had a chance to read it. I mean, I read it almost every day. I don't know what kind of emotion you come when you read chapter 4. I'm going to come back to this, but don't you feel disappointed? Feeling a little disappointed. Why is he like that? Why is he so stubborn? Why is he so hard to speak to? Why is he so self-right, self-righteous? Why is he so judgmental? Don't you feel like that when you read it? At the same time, if you read the entire chapter, I cannot help but to think that why isn't God giving up on him? Don't you ask that question? Why bother with him? It's 600,000 people of Nineveh. Isn't that more important? Right? Of course it is, right? Yes, numerically and quantitatively, logically, that's much more important than this one Jonah figure. And yet, God doesn't seem like he's giving up on him. Here's my question for you to think about during the week, if you're willing to think about it. What happened to Jonah after chapter 4? What happened to Jonah after chapter 4? And you say, oh, how do we supposed to know? Well, that's for you to speculate. That's how you read the Bible. Okay, so I'll leave it at that. So, book of Jonah, we're moving on to the last chapter. And I want to remind you, Jesus said, that's my story. That's not just a fairy tale. That's my story. It happened, and just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, for 3 days and three nights, Son of Man, I will be in the heart of the land for 3 days and three nights. Basically, he's saying, that's my story. Typological prophecy. I explained, okay? So, we left off with God's greatest revival, or repentance of the entire city, wicked city, great city of Nineveh, which was the capital city of Assyrian Empire. Can you imagine entire Moscow repenting before the Lord? Equivalent to that. Right? The greatest nation of that time amazingly repented from least to the greatest, humbled themselves. It sounds so unreal, right? Miraculous. Let me tell you something. Salvation is a miracle. For you to truly turn and becoming true fear of God. I think it's a miracle, don't you think? We human heart is so stubborn and wicked. Okay? So, that happened. God saw what they did and how they turned, repented from their evil way, and God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Okay? And then chapter 4 kind of picks up with Jonah's response. And my question is, why is that important? Who cares, right? 600,000 people came to know the Lord, and they repented, and Jonah, which we will see react so ridiculously, and why is that important? Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. But, wow, if you notice, I was reading chapter 4, every time chapter 4 speaks about Jonah, it starts with but. That's not good, right? That's not good. Something is twisted and off with that personality. But Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very, very upset. The word exceedingly is gadol. Great fish, great wind, great storm, great displeasure. Isn't that kind of interesting? There is a play of word the author is using. He was so displeased and he was angry. You know why you get angry? Because you are so displeased. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And anger is not something you manage. It's anger, contrary to what the modern psychologists say, you cannot really manage anger. Anger will always have a directional force. It is targeting someone. It never, you're angry at like every direction. It's never like that. You're angry at someone, right? And you are, because you're angry, you must kill. Just like Cain killed his brother Abel. Okay, it must kill. And do you want to know something? In this chapter, we will see Jonah's anger and God's anger. Those two are real and very, very important in gospel and Christianity. Anger of God, wrath of God. Always have a direction, and it must kill, must destroy. God's anger is the same. Okay, so he was displeased exceedingly, and he was angry. So how did he respond? Amazingly, he prayed. Do you pray when you get angry? But he prayed. Jonah doesn't pray. Jonah only prayed in chapter 2, and chapter 3, there is no sign of that. And chapter 4, he prayed. But chapter 2 prayer and chapter 4 prayer is very, very different. Different kind of attitude, isn't it? There he was seeking for mercy. Save me! Great! Lord, save me! Save me! Save me! Here, it's quite different. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord!" See how he addresses it? I don't know what kind of tone you hear, but I think you will hear if you read the rest of the prayer. "Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country?" What is he saying? I told you, basically. I told you, God, which means I'm right. See, I told you I'm right. Don't you say that, right, parents? I told you. That's what Jonah is doing. I told you. And then amazingly, he gives reason why he disobeyed and flee from the Lord in the first place. That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. In chapter 4, we find out the cause of his disobedience. But if you look at the cause, you'll be so shocked. What is the reason that Jonah disobeyed? Here's the reason, semicolon, for I knew. He knew something, that you are. In other words, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to do this. For I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. And therefore, now, oh Lord, I'm angry. Please kill me. Do you see that? Anger always must kill. Right? Take my life. He's suicidal. If you notice, he always asks, take my life. In chapter 1, he asked for it. In chapter 4, he asked for it twice. He asked for take my life for the matter of the Ninevites. Later on, for a one vine. Take my life. Do you see what's going on in his heart? Something grossly distorted. Do you agree? Something is way off. Take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then the Lord says, is it right for you to be angry? Okay, that's the text for today. And I want to look at Jonah's response, and then I want to see God's response to Jonah. Okay, so Jonah's response was he was displeased exceedingly, and he was angry. I find it pretty amazing. And the reason that he was so angry was, I told you, I knew that you were going to do that. That you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in hesed, love, and relenting from the disasters. Can you think with me for a moment? Do you know anybody like that? Someone who's gracious to you? You know what that means? He treats you, although you don't deserve it. You know anybody who is gracious to you? I'm sure there are, right? Your parents could be gracious. Not only gracious, but he's merciful. And he always forgives you. You're late. You disappointed me. He doesn't do that. He forgives you. Not only he's gracious and merciful, but he's slow to anger. Do you know anybody like that? Period. Do you know anybody who's slow to anger? How many a husband here say, my husband is so slow to anger? Wives, could you raise your hand? Yeah, I didn't think so. Slow to anger. We are so quick to anger. We are so about justice, right? You did this, you will get it. But he's slow to anger. Grace, gracious, merciful, slow to anger. And he is loyal. Irrespective of your behavior, he's going to be faithful to you. Hesed. Do you know anybody like that? And the disaster you deserve, punishment you deserve, the wrath you deserve, anger you deserve, he relents. He turns. He turns. And that's who God is. Those are the natures of God. And Jonah knew him. Jonah had the right theology. But Jonah didn't have that in here. Do you see that? How many of you know God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and hesed in love, and relent from disasters? You know, you have the right theology. We study the attributes of God. But how many of you say, man, that's the God that I walk with? Right? That's what's happening here. He was displeased gadol, greatly, and he was angry. And the reason we get angry is because it is not right. This is not right. What is not right? He's saying that for God to show grace to those violent Ninevites. Do you have any people like that in your life? Man, he doesn't deserve it. They do not deserve it. Right? They really should not be shown mercy. Do you have anybody like that? I know people could say this is a look at it as a racism. I think so too. Which is completely off from understanding the gospel. There's only one multinational, multicultural family of God that is in Christ. Every nation, every ethnicity in Christ, we're one family of God. If you think one race or one group of people, they don't deserve it because they're just different, you do not understand the gospel at all. You don't. Okay? So we could look at it like that, but I think it's deeper than that. Jonah has hatred. Jonah has a deep, deep hatred. We want to look at that today, okay? He has a deep hatred. You know, that's why I flee in first place. That is why I flee to Tarshish. And the reason is because I knew you are like that. I knew you were going to do that. I knew you're going to be forgiving them and relenting from the disasters. That's why I was hesitant to go there. That's why I was hesitant to share the message. That's why. I sense a deep hatred in this person. Is that possible in this room? There is a deep hatred in us. I think it is quite possible. Right? Deep hatred toward the Ninevites. Yes, they were the national enemies, and they knew of their brutality, and they were proud, and they were violent. However, didn't Jonah know God of grace? Didn't Jonah knew his theology? And the answer is yes. Yes, he did. But Jonah believed that God's grace and mercy is not for them. Right? He must have believed deeply that they do not deserve of his grace and mercy. They do not deserve it. They surely do not deserve it. Right? Should not be relented from the judgment and disaster. God, you need to pour your anger and wrath upon him. He needs to die. Like, be honest with me. When you hate someone, don't you kind of imagine that? I wish he could be hit by a truck. Deep inside. What if it goes on for years? I know of someone who wanted to, so mad at his father, he wanted to kill him for years. Didn't happen. But years. Or simply, a little bit passively, I want him to be dead. I wish he doesn't exist. Right? Anger always kills. Not only you're killing that person, you're killing yourself. You're dead. You're a dead person. Anger always has a directional force, and it kills. Okay? However, in this great chapter, I want you to see there is that Jonah's anger, and then there is that anger of God. Are they related? Right? And we know, we already talked about anger is about right, what is right. And God is righteous. And we are not. Do you see the tension here? We are angry, human beings are angry, Jonah is angry. Angry at what? What God is doing. Who God is, actually, showing mercy to Ninevites. That's what's happening here. Both are real, and Jonah's anger is a I'm right anger. Is he right? I am righteous anger. Is that right? That's self-righteous anger. That's self-righteousness, which is so destructive and absolutely sinful in the sight of God. You understand that? Self-righteous anger. He was proud. Hatred. Toward the Ninevites, toward God. So he must kill someone, right? It's not, was it toward the Ninevites? No, it wasn't toward the Ninevites. Jonah's anger was toward God. But he can't kill God. So what does he do? He asks, kill me. Kill me. So many people don't want to live. You know what that is? Anger. This is not it. Can we do anything about that anger? You know, Jonah's anger totally reminds me of another person in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal. Remember that story of the prodigal who, you know, who was a ridiculous person too. And he takes, you know, his share from his father and go a far distance and just squander everything with wild living, and you could imagine that life. And he loses everything and run out of any money, so he gets a job at a farm pig's pen, tending pigs. For this Jewish young man to get a job like that, that means he hit the rock bottom. And the great famine came, so he was hungry. Remember that? So this younger brother basically working in the pig's farm, if you could just picture that. And he was so hungry, he began to eat the food, pig's pot. Can you picture that? Frantically eating that. And there he came to senses and he turns. Yashab. He repented. What did he remember? In my father's house, even the slaves do better than this. I need to get up. I need to go back to my father. Remember that? That's repentance. Yashab. So he returns. And father was waiting for him. Father was so eager to see him back. Every single day he was watching toward the direction he left, right? And when he sees in distance, he was so ecstatic. He runs to him, embraces him, kisses him, celebrates, rejoices. And later on, Jesus said, you know, when one sinner repent, Yashab, there's going to be a celebration like that. Can you imagine the heart of God with the Ninevites? 600,000 men. He was rejoicing, celebrating. But Jonah was angry. So he throws a party. Let's celebrate. And there is a reason that we need to celebrate, because this son of mine was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and he was found. So it is right that we celebrate. There's that. That's the right attitude. That's the attitude of God, of the Father. However, there is another character in this story. You know that, right? The older brother. I'm an older brother. Older brother, yeah. Older brother figure. He comes back from work. He senses something has happened. There is some excitement going on. So he grabs a slave, another servant, and says, what happened? Well, your younger brother came home. And we are preparing for a celebration, a party. Your father is very, very excited and thankful. Now, what should be the response of the older brother, if you are the older brother of a brother who just returned? What should be the attitude? Verse 28 says, this is what is recorded. But he was angry. But he was angry. Refused to go in, and his father came in and entreated him. Hey, son, let's go in. Let's celebrate. It is right to celebrate. He was dead and he's alive. He was lost and he was found. And then the older brother spills out what was in his heart, the filth that was in his heart. Would you listen to this? Filth, filth. Look! Look at the tone of voice. Oh Lord, look, Father. This many years, I have slaved you. I was a slave to you. Isn't that kind of sad? Right? So many people go to church like a slave. And I never disobeyed your command. Do you see how right he is? I never disobeyed your command. Yet, you never, you learn this kind of language. You never use the word never when you try to resolve conflicts. But he uses like over and over and over again. I never disobeyed you, yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. What do you hear? Resentment. Jealousy. Don't you hear it? Last week we were talking about family and parenting. And I know, most of you are not parents yet, but I think we could hear from either angle. And 2 weeks ago we talked about from the children's side, children obey your parents, honor them, that is right. And that's the first promise with command with a promise. But yesterday, Friday, we talked about fathers. Listen to this. Do not provoke your children to anger. It's so amazing, because the command of the scripture to Christian father is a negative command. Don't cause them. Don't irritate them to be angry. What do you think is that? Probably because fathers are so prone to easily anger their children, right? Deeply angry, right? Deeply angry. Look at the way he talks to his father. Look, I am so right. Look, you're wrong. My rightness anger, righteous anger, self-righteous anger. I've been slaving for you. My brothers and sisters, Christianity is not living as a slave, but living as a child of God. If you feel guilty, and if you're not serving, you feel something bad going to happen to you and things like that, that's slavery. God has not given you the spirit of slavery or slavery of fear, spirit of fear, but spirit of sonship, right? Abba Father, we could call him. Every day we could receive and hear him say to us, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. That's Christianity, people. So many people to Christianity like slaves. Yet you never gave me anything so that I could celebrate with my friends. Full of resentment. Are you like that? Are you resentful towards someone? You know, after this many years in my life, we may have had not perfect families, as many of you had. But for you to continue to live with resentment, blaming someone in your life and growing old, I think is tragic. Especially if you understand the grace of God. Isn't the grace of God greater than what you experienced at home? I'm just asking you people. If you are still at a mode, I hate my father. Isn't the grace of God greater than whatever you have experienced in your life, in your family? Isn't it tragic if you grow old? Can I ask you something? And you get married, and your marriage will be fine with that resentful heart? I don't think so. Can you do parenting with that resentful heart? You know, I share this. There's a mother, young mother, raising a little baby. And the baby knocks a bottle of water, and water gets spilled on carpet. What's wrong with that? But she finds herself so mad at the baby. Why can't you be careful and spill water in the carpet? Screaming at her. What's wrong with spilling water on carpet? It's going to dry up. You know what's coming? It's the anger coming out. The reason I'm sharing this with you is people get into their marriage and hopefully everything will be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. Anger must kill. Anger always has a direction. Remember that? Look at his heart, this older brother's heart, toward his brother. Okay? He's speaking to his father. But when this son of yours, that's his younger brother, when this son of yours came, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you don't even know, but you accuse your brother. And you rejoice, and you sense jealousy, resentfulness. Isn't it kind of sad? Do you see the similarity between Jonah and the older brother? It's exactly the same spirit, people. Spirit of rightness, self-rightness, self-righteousness. Deeply proud. Deep hatred. It's the dark spirit, people. Bible says, your righteousness, your rightness is like a filthy rags. Filthy rags. If you are counting on your righteousness, you don't need Christ. Your righteousness, your rightness is like a filthy rags. When you see Jonah in chapter 4, don't you get upset? Don't you get like, oh, stop already, kind of feeling. That's you. That's me. Deep inside. Can we look at Lord's response? How would you respond to someone like that? If you're an employer, by the way, next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about marketplace. What kind of attitude do we need to have as a worker, employee, okay, and following as an employer or boss. We're gonna talk about that next 2 weeks. And if you have a employee like that, what would you do? Get out right now. You're fired. There are 2,000 people waiting on the line to try to get this job. You act like that? You think you're so right? Get out. Right? But God does not treat Jonah like that though. When Jonah prayed, "Oh Lord, take my life, kill me. It is better for me to die than to live." And when he prayed that, I think he was correct. I think he should die. I think this world is better without a person like that. Do you agree? That's you and me. That's what we deserve. It's better for me to die than to live. That's a true statement. Jonah should die. Yes, it is better not to have such a person in this world. And yet, listen to this. God's response to this Jonah, nothing person Jonah. And by the way, in the book of Jonah, there is only one personal person in the book. It's the sailors and it's the Ninevites, group of people, but there is only God and Jonah. Did you notice that? But God's response to Jonah is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, hesed in love, and relenting from the disaster. Isn't it? Lord's response was a simple question, and can you imagine the tone? To that Jonah, that charged up Jonah, Lord God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? Do you hear the tone? Is there any difference between the tone of Jonah and tone of the Lord? I think so. I hear gentle tone compared to Jonah's tone of voice. And yet, powerful way of Word of God pointing towards your heart. Your heart. Which is what he's after. Jonah's heart. That's what he's after. Are you right, Jonah? This is the God of righteousness asking him, are you right? Is it right for you to be angry? What is God doing? God desires Jonah's heart to turn. That's what he desires. That's what he's after you. Would you look at me? Is your heart turning over the last year? Is your heart turning this week? Do you see Jonah in you? I hope you do. Okay? Why is God responding to Jonah, such a ridiculous personality, Jonah, like that? Because he's God of Hesed. He's gracious and compassionate. There's no other way he could react. Because that's his Jonah. Okay? And he desires Jonah to be transformed. So many of you are like Jonah, aren't you? So stubborn. How many of you say, I'm stubborn? Could you say amen? Nobody fell into that. But I know you know you are. So many people are so hard to talk to. Could you say amen? That's me. I know you're going to say, oh, that's me. So many people are so like illogical like this. Don't you think? So many people are like talking to the wall. Oh, that's me. And yet God doesn't seem like he's giving up on him. If you read the rest of the book, there's a ridiculous illustration. Don't you think? Which we will talk about next week. A ridiculous illustration. Using a vine and a worm. Like, so. Such ridiculous. And I was thinking, I'm as I'm reading about it, I'm thinking, why is he not giving up on him? Why is that focus on that stupid figure, Jonah? That's my question as I'm reading the Bible. Okay? Just want to close with a few final thoughts. Again, Jonah chapter 4 is somewhat disappointing to me. I mean, I read this book many times, but it's just disappointing. After chapter 2, you want to see chapter 4? Disappointing. Why is he so calloused? Why is he so stubborn? Hard to talk to, unreasonable. And he's always right. He's so righteous, self-righteous. deeply proud, so disappointing, even angers me. I don't know. It angers me. Oh, Jonah. But this is the picture of human heart, your heart and mine. Right? No exaggeration, no difference. Yet the Lord God is so much more, so much greater, amazing than I know. That's why he is so much greater than I know. Because that's how you are, and that's how I am. You will never know how stubborn we are. Right? He's so slow to anger to Jonah. Imagine he respond to exactly what he deserves. None of us will be existing. Right? Reading the rest of the chapter, chapter 4, I already shared this and we will talk about it next week. It's rather striking and fascinating that the main characters are not the Ninevites. It's not really about Ninevites. The book doesn't even mention much about them. It's not the Ninevites. Then who are the main characters in this great book of Jonah? Great God and that ridiculous person, Jonah. Right? It's God and this ridiculous figure, Jonah. God continues to talk primarily by questions. Next week, we'll look at three questions. Is it right for you to be angry? Second question, very similar. Is it right for you to be angry about the vine? It is meant to be funny. It is meant to be ridiculous. And the last question is, should I not be concerned for this great city? When you're concerned about that one vine that you did not even plant and you didn't even make it grow and it grew in one day and it died one day, it's nothing and you are so mad and angry. And should I not be concerned about the souls? 120,000 children who doesn't know the difference between left hand and right hand? Should I not be concerned? Do you hear it, people? Three questions. What is God doing? I think God is targeting Jonah's heart. He's targeting your heart, people. And you always try to run away. Don't run away. He's targeting your heart. Don't do it halfway. Come on. I do church halfway. So that you may truly turn. Right? One last thing I want to share, if you would just listen to me. How can you truly turn and change your anger? What are you going to do about your anger for the rest of your life? I know there is a person in this room who needs to resolve this. What are you going to do about your anger towards your father, let's say? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your righteousness, your self-righteousness? And you feel so fearful deeply inside at the same time. Your twisted heart. You're so difficult to talk to. What are you going to do about that? You want to get married and then just ruin your marriage as well? Your stubbornness. Your pride. Very difficult to reason. And I want to just share the gospel here. Listen to me. Your anger and God's anger meet in one place. What's going to happen if that happens? There is a place where your anger and the wrath of God can meet. That's on Calvary. Listen to me, please. This is a real thing. Calvary. Jesus, the Son of God, who is the antitype of Jonah story, hung on a tree. Hung on a tree. For your anger and your wickedness and your stubbornness and your sinfulness. Oh, I know that. No, that's not going to change you. In order for you to be changed and transformed and redeemed, you need to listen to this. He bore your anger, your wickedness, your pride and stubbornness on the tree And you need to bring that to Him. You need to bring your anger to Him. Not your money, not your talent, not your service. Bring your anger to Him. Bring your sin to Him. Would you? Bring your sin to Him, your wickedness to Him, your stubbornness to Him. Really, Lord, I find myself, I'm so stubborn to my husband. I know you feel it. I find myself, I'm just so easily irritated. I see a little kid spilling water and I get pissed. What's wrong with me? I must kill. You know what? God's anger must kill too. That's the judgment. Right? So you bring your anger to Him, and God's going to pour His wrath, anger upon Him. So that you become free, and the penalty is paid for. You know, price is paid, people. Price is paid. You just need to redeem it. You need to come bringing your empty bottles, and you need to redeem His heart. Every day, that's what we need to do, people. Every day. You need to bring your, I don't know what to do with my feeling toward this person. For so many years, I want him to die. Bring it to the cross. Let Jesus be killed for you. That's the power of the gospel, people. Your heart can be redeemed. Your anger can be redeemed. It's already paid for. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. And yet you think, oh, I know, and then you go home. And then you just continue to walk in darkness. And your heart, you'll find yourself, your heart is just becoming more and more stubborn, more closed. Come. It is already paid for. Let's pray.